This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
As kids, we were told it's not polite to talk about religion, sex, or politics at the dinner table. But at the open table, nothing is off limits.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the open table. And with me, as he usually is, Ethan Kyoto Hall.
Hello, hello.
It's great to have you here with me. So it's Radiothon.
Oh my God.
We weren't around for Radiothon last year.
No, we just missed it, didn't we?
We just missed it because that was the grid that we started. So
they just knew we'd make too much money.
Well,
that's what it was.
I think that's how community radio stations operate, that, you know, keep the talent off the air that's going to make you the money. We are joined as well by Dimitra Giannakopoulos, who kicked off Radiothon on Saturday.
On Saturday. Hello.
Today we're focusing on the importance of joy. We've got Dimitra, we've got Ave Puglielli coming in as well, who was on a few weeks ago. So, Dimitra, you are now officially a friend of the show because it's your second time on.
Are you sure it's not third time?
No.
I think I deserve a gold jacket or something.
Well, we don't have the budget for that. Maybe if they donate.
Hey, so speaking of donating for a Radiothon, you can, of course, do that. The Radiothon is all about, it's about raising funds. Let's not pretend it's about anything else. It's actually about raising funds, but to keep this wonderful queer media organisation on the air, to keep it going, to keep expanding what we do because we're stronger together. If you want to donate or become a member or renew your membership, now is the time to do it. Because not only are you helping this great community radio station and the other media functions that we perform here, also every donation is tax deductible, and that's pretty good this time of year. We're really keen to talk about today what it means to be a part of the Joy community. So, Ethan, let's start with you. What have you got out of volunteering here at Joy?
I mean, a ton of really cool practical experiences, especially if you're in a media production and the production side of things. Live experience, you know, how to come up with stuff on the fly. You obviously get the radio practical experience. I mean, if you ever wanted to be into podcasting or truly radio stuff, yeah, it's great practical experience. So I would really recommend the radio training course.
Dimitra, when did you first start volunteering here at Joy?
Well, it was late 2022, actually.
Really?
Yeah, although I had a long time ago been involved in a sports show when Joy was located at the Bourke Street offices. I wasn't really sort of connected with Joy in a strong sense in the same way now. But a friend had started up a sports show and he invited me to come and talk about tennis, funnily enough, which is, you know, one of my lifelong loves. And so that's how I, you know, have connected with Joy, but also, you know, been a listener and an on and off again member, but now definitely a steady member of Joy and currently involved in, well, Saturday morning breakfast, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. but also film reviews on The Wonderful Outtakes, which is on at 8 o'clock on a Monday night.
So you are really involved.
I'm really involved.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. The shows that you've done, what's the one that's given you sort of, pardon the pun, the most joy?
I always reflect on Life is a Disco. The show was about being LGBT and multicultural and faith coming into that as well, and really exploring that. And what I discovered through that show, number one, I really have moved away from the labels, because I'd start off the show asking each guest. So the format was I'd have one guest for the full hour.
Yeah.
And I'd always start off asking, well, how do you identify in the LGBTIQA+ community? And then I, you know, halfway through the season, I stopped asking, or I was asking the question, but then always qualifying it with, oh, I don't know if I should be asking you, what do the labels mean? That's probably one of the profound factors that's come out of that show. And also just hearing so many stories of amazingly brave people who I think I said so many times, where were you when I was coming out? Because I wish I had your guidance.
It's really interesting because on this show, we do the same thing. Mm. We start off by asking, you know, where do you identify on the queer spectrum? And more common, it's just becoming as queer.
Yeah.
Queer, or it's fluid, it's bisexual. I feel like it's just not as relevant a question as I thought it was early in our first season.
And also, I think it's because we are now embracing the fact that you don't have to just be the one letter your whole life.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes sense when you think about it, how the evolution of the acronym, even Joy in its early days, in the early 90s, it was Gay and Lesbian Radio.
Yeah.
And look how it's evolved since then. So I love the idea that we are embracing nuance in our sexuality and definitely our gender. I mean, that's such a big conversation that we have now.
Yeah. And there's something about us being an inclusive community and wanting to be included in the broader community that means we, I don't know, maybe we have to tone down the letters a little bit and sort of embrace that fluidity. And you've got you've got great shows about bisexuality.
Big Bi plus Curious.
Yep. Yep. That's great. And we've got The Eye in Us.
The Eye in Us. What an absolute watershed show that is.
Yeah. And it's been well recognized around the world.
Yeah.
So again, that's the importance of this organization, isn't it? That we can move things.
Well, because we live it and we are wanting to talk about it and the issues that our community knows so much about, that we get to explore the nuances of it. I think that's the incredible thing with Joy, and it is definitely a safe space to do that.
Yes, and I think that's the beauty of it, is that people who might go on to another media outlet that isn't across the nuances may feel like they're getting interrogated. Yeah. Whereas here it's a conversation.
Yeah. Beautifully put.
So you started in 2022.
2022, because I did the training course.
Yep.
And I hadn't expected I would then go on to doing a show.
Oh, really?
And at the end of the training course, you are invited to, you
know, make a pitch.
And I thought, well, why not?
Why not?
So I did. And that led to the very first show, which was a sports show called Sidelined with Jax with Soupy. And that was so much fun. Oh, my God, it was so much fun. That was the first show, you know, and we were put together by Joy, which is one of the amazing things of volunteering at Joy.
Yeah.
Because you get to meet people and create friendships through, one, just being here, but also then doing it. Well, I say a project together, you know. Being on Joy and doing the shows makes me feel like a kid, because I remember all these fantastic projects I did as a kid.
Yeah.
And then when you do a project with someone, you actually form friendships and you not only learn about other people, but you also learn about yourself. So that was the first show in the late 2022.
And it's a bonding experience, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
When you go on air and when you're putting something out there each and every week, which is not an easy thing to do.
No.
You form a bond with people. So volunteering obviously has meant a lot to you. What do you feel like it's opened doors? I mean, you've obviously been in the community for a little bit. Do you feel like being at Joy has opened more doors for you? Or?
Well, in many ways, certainly meeting people that I just wouldn't meet in any other parts of my life. So that's wonderful, you know, from all walks of life, for sure. So, you know, connecting with a community. And when we're in our everyday, sometimes you can get quite isolated. I mean, I have many friends outside of Joy who are queer as well. But then you come to Joy and you do create that community. I mean, I've learned so much as well. I think I love learning new things. I love putting myself outside my comfort zone. And I think that's probably been one of the biggest parts of doing a radio show. I never thought I'd be, you know, leading a radio show. This is the thing. You're here. You get really well supported, and whenever you volunteer, and I have volunteered at my tennis club as well, and I learned skills there. So that's another fantastic thing about volunteering. There is an opportunity to work with people who are most likely more experienced than you, and good organisations will have good programs for volunteers to help them learn a new skill.
Yeah.
And I think that's been something that I was not expecting to learn. And it wasn't even by design, you know. And I've really fallen in love with being able to create audio and telling stories because, you know, my other, I mean, I'm a filmmaker.
Yeah, yeah.
And making films, a very visual medium, not the exact opposite of audio, but it's a different way of conveying a story. And that has led to skills that I have then been able to use in my filmmaking and being much more aware of the impact of the audio component of filmmaking.
Okay. So it sounds like you'd be recommending if somebody wanted to volunteer here at Joy that there's a good process.
Well, we haven't even, you know, scratched the surface of all the fantastic things that volunteering brings, but, you know, that's a big yes from me.
Yeah. We're going to take a sort of like a bit of a big picture now, chat about why Joy is important to have not only in this country but globally. But before we do that, just a reminder that it's the Radiothon and you can go to joy.org.au/membership/donate. And as we've said, you can absolutely get a chance for $15,000 worth of prizes, can't you, Ethan?
That you can, Craig.
That you can.
That you can.
That you can. And but we have with us in the studio, and we're very thankful that they're here, with Ave Puglielli, who you may remember was on probably a month ago.
Feels
another
like longer
than that.
Friend of
the show.
Now officially, because it's his second time, friend of the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. So Ave, in case you don't remember, was a member of the Victorian Legislative Council for the Victorian Greens, representing the northeastern metropolitan region. Thank you for joining us in a sitting week.
Oh, no, my pleasure. Straight after the sitting, rushed on down earlier than expected, actually, so it was all good.
And you were locked out for a little while?
No.
That's,
not at all.
That's good. Sorry, I just bumped my microphone loudly, professional that I am. So what does Joy as a media organisation mean to you personally?
It's a good question. Look, I've been listening to Joy for, I want to say, most of my adult life, particularly after that sort of finishing uni. I actually did the radio training course yonks ago, back when this place was over in Bourke Street.
Wow.
Just on Saturday Magazine the other day, actually talking about how for a very brief period after that, I was assisting the Queen of the Night classical music show on a Sunday.
Because you've
for
got
a short period.
You've got a background in that, don't you?
Theater and arts background and classical music particularly, and contemporary art music for that matter, is sort of a personal interest. So, you know, it's Joy is an amazing community resource, platform where, you know, our community, as wide and broad and wonderful as it is given the opportunity to come together to raise our respective voices, to elevate issues that matter to our community, talk about topics that are of interest to our community. And so that example for me was talking about classical music and queer composers and, you know, the evolution of intersections of queer culture and that music genre over the many years. So it's, you know, Joy is a fantastic thing. I'm thrilled to hear that the federal government have committed they're going to provide funding to it. State government has as well in the past.
Yes.
It's, you know, something the Greens absolutely are supportive of. We need to see community arts organisations, community organisations like Joy that bring particularly LGBTQIA+ people together. It's so important that there is resourcing and support given to groups like Joy Media doing the work that you do. It's, you know, and then shows like The Open Table, you're talking about topics that I don't think we're really seeing covered anywhere else at the moment. Like, it's such an important resource for our community.
Well, I think that's the beauty of a community radio station, isn't it? We're not sort of beholden to corporate overlords. Yes, there's grants from government, which sometimes mean you have to tiptoe around things.
As a listener, I feel like Joy does a really good job of trying to engage with all sides, all perspectives, in a respectful way. And that's, you know, Saturday Magazine, for example, about once a month will go on to do a sort of short interview segment, and, you know, I'm one of many voices who participate in sort of that news and current affairs and politics show.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important that there is that breadth of views represented just as it exists within the LGBTQIA+ community.
Well, that's right, because we often assume that everybody in the LGBTQIA+ community is left-leaning progressive.
I mean, in my experience, many are. But, you know, we're talking about a community that's not one homogenous group.
That's right.
It's, you know, there's many, many people within our wonderful community. And so it's, you know, how do we maintain a space that all voices feel like they can participate in a respectful way and feel welcome and respected as they are. Yeah. And that's why I think it's so, so amazing that Joy exists and has existed, as far as I'm aware, for basically my entire years of
being
on this planet.
32 years, I think.
I'm almost the same age as Joy. So it was just, you know, amazing. Kudos to Joy and everyone that's helped make it happen.
Oh, yes. You're only 30s. Okay, nice. I'm 38.
Yeah, Craig, you're only 6. Don't feel too hard on yourself.
No. I feel like I'm almost at that point of starting to repeat numbers. I feel like I hit 30 and I'm just going to keep saying I'm 30 and that's it.
Oh, that's... No. I know there's a lot of debate at the moment about what age somebody stops being a twink, for instance.
It's I'm not there yet. Hopefully never going to happen. Never.
No, you'll still be the twink in pink for us.
That's right.
So when you come on Saturday Mag, knowing that it's, you know, part of a community radio station like this, is there a different, do you go in with a different attitude compared to if you're being interviewed by sort of like more mainstream news media?
Not really. I mean, I think it's this speaks to the strength of the people who work and put their time into keeping Joy running. I think people do treat their work with this radio station really seriously. You know, the questions that I receive on a show like Saturday Magazine or on your show, you know, the previous session, for example, I don't think a world away from what I would be receiving in other parts of sort of news media. But, you know, I think importantly, often we're talking about topics that we're not seeing discussed elsewhere, that, you know, we're seeing our community uplifted in these conversations in a way that I don't think, unfortunately, we see enough in sort of mainstream media and other outlets. And so it is really, really important that, you know, at that community level, we see Joy funded and able to do the work that it's doing, because, you know, people, I just think about so many queer people out there and community more broadly who, you know, seeing something like Joy existing and, you know, being able to listen while driving home from work like I do so often, it, you know, it allows you to connect with the fact that, you know, there are many folks out there and we're going through a lot of the similar experiences or have in the past, and, you know, we can find community, and Joy really offers that. It's an amazing thing.
Yeah. Now it's Radiothon, we keep mentioning it because it's important. You know, we do want people to renew their membership. We want, if you've been listening and not a member, I think the going rate's about $84. If you're a student, it's less than that. You can take out a family rate for about $120. So please get on board. You can put a donation onto that. The donation is tax deductible. And of course, go into the draw to win an incredible first prize. It seemed like a waste to have you on the show and not get your reflections as a member of the state parliament for the Greens, just broadly on, like I was saying off air, this was one of the most extraordinary elections I think we've had in our history. It was so surprising in so many ways.
Yeah, it was pretty extraordinary. I think there were a lot of results that people hadn't predicted or weren't expecting, or at least not to the extent that we saw.
Did you first get a feel that this is bizarre?
Look, in my experience as a Greens member and member of parliament, usually the seats that we'll be watching the most closely in terms of Greens MPs, whether elected or not, is it usually takes a very, very long time to know the results. So I try actually, and I did this time around as well, I try to avoid actually watching obsessively either my phone or the TV screen at least several hours into the evening, because, you know, all sorts of things happen. I've been through it before where you'll get a booth in where we've done extraordinarily well, and so people suddenly get extremely excited, which is, you know, great because there's been a swing towards us in that area. But actually, often seats where we're in close contest, it comes down really, really close. Where as Greens, we're not in the sort of old two major party system. We usually have to overcome both parties in some form, often collectively to take a seat, especially, you know, the lower house kind of contests that we see. And so, on the night, I remember going to multiple events and speaking with volunteers who right across the northeastern sort of suburbs that I represent, who'd been volunteering all day, handing out materials and speaking to them. And I'd got to the second event in Ringwood, and I was
Oh, that's my town.
Yeah, electorate of Deakin. So I was talking to volunteers, and I was literally at the end of my speech thanking everyone for all the hard work they'd put in representing, you know, the pillars and the policies that the Greens were taking to the election, and that we champion, you know, housing for everyone, dental into Medicare, taking action on the climate crisis, these sorts of things. And I'm literally at the end of my speech speaking about what we're hearing, which was that there's these swings against the Liberal Party and kind of Trumpian politics that had already sort of emerged at that part of the evening. And literally as I said it on the screen next to me, Peter Dutton lost his seat. And so everyone just went ballistic, completely wild, yeah, and were thrilled with that outcome. And it's, you know, to one of the things we took to this election was, as part of our pitch, was to get Labor to act, but also to keep Dutton out of Parliament. I think people were genuinely scared about what he and his party going to that election represented, not only for the community more broadly, but particularly those of us who are queer. Like, I think there's a lot of fear out there about what was being pitched and what it would mean if they were to take government.
And almost in the sense that Dutton wasn't the worst of that Liberal coalition movement.
Look, I work in the state parliament in the upper house where there are some very, very interesting individuals with, I don't think our community's interests at heart, you know, individuals who would not want to see Joy on air. Quite explicitly, they've said that in the past. Look, there were things that happened throughout the night, this rejection of Trumpian politics, of the Liberal Party, of what they were taking to that election. I think that was really energising to see our country do that. I mean, there it's a bittersweet element as well, because when we look at, you know, the translation of what that then meant for some of the lower house contests, like there were, I know, for example, quite popular community independents who lost their seats out of these results. And then also for, you know, my fellow federal Greens colleagues, there were Greens seats that were lost as well, including the wonderful Adam, who's represented Melbourne for, you know, most of my adult life, really. And, you know, it's going to be really sad to not have them with us, kind of in the team as MPs, collaborating, you know, across the sort of state and federal lines. But our movement of what we represent is more than one person. And I think that's something that many of us are holding right now. And, you know, we are standing for the things that we feel are right for the community and are in the community's interest, not just what's politically popular.
Yeah.
And really, what I think it's going to take analysts quite some time to go through all of the nitty-gritty of what's actually come through in these results, you know, this desertion of the Liberal Party and of this sort of conservative Trumpian agenda. And then where did those people cast their vote to, and what were the impacts on each individual lower house seat, for example. But then at the same time, looking at this sort of macro trend at the sort of upper house Senate level, like where I represent in the state parliament, where we effectively had a record vote. Like, it's really, it's a bittersweet aspect of coming out of this election. But I do think, you know, like any election, win, loss, draw, we will review, and that will be an extensive process. And, you know, I think given we've got a state election next year, I'll be looking very closely at, you know, the way that parts of the community responded to particular messaging that we're elevating. I think we always heavily involve community in the work that we do, and in not only, you know, development of policy and the way that we communicate those policies importantly to people. Yeah. You know, I think we did hear on the booths a huge amount of support for things like getting dental into Medicare, and some of those policies we're working through. So I think, bittersweet in some ways. And you know, I do wish my former colleagues well who have lost their seats. But I think, you know, there's the work goes on, the issues that we were campaigning for and what we seek to act upon, like things like the worsening climate crisis, for example. Like these issues are too important to lose hope now. Yeah. We have to work onwards. And, you know, that's what we're doing in the state parliament. I've come straight from a sitting day today. Yeah. The work goes on.
Yeah. So that rejection of sort of even the whiff of Trumpian politics here in Australia and also in Canada a few days earlier, that's not quite the same around the world. So where does an organisation like Joy, what's the importance of having something like Joy on the air?
Yeah, I think when we're seeing parts of the world and you know, political leaders, for example, seeking to use our community as a punching bag to not try and serve the interests of a community that I think, you know, resoundingly people accept and welcome queer people as they are, and LGBTQIA+ people are, you know, everywhere in our community. And I think we are on a path of progress generally all over the world. But there are, you know, we look at sort of trumps America, for example, and different jurisdictions where there are these significant steps backwards being taken. I think the importance of queer media and community supports, like what Joy provides, and, you know, these spaces where we can come together and collectivize, it's more important than ever, because it's, you know, people finding community, people being able to access resources and connect with each other and support each other. It's, you know, it's so integral that we see groups like Joy Media on air, because it provides that platform to keep our community connected and united on a path of progress against this sort of incoming hate that we've seen in different jurisdictions. And, there, you know, there are definitely people out there who would want to bring that type of politics and kind of fear-mongering and spreading of hate towards our community to this country. And it's important that we remain steadfast in opposing that coming here, and, you know, that we advocate for our community and our voices to remain present and flourish.
And one of the beauties of having a voice like Joy has is that it just doesn't go out to Australia, that can be heard around the world. As I mentioned earlier, I know my boyfriend's listening in Singapore at the moment, and there'll be people listening to not this show necessarily, but to Joy, going, actually, there is another way, that there is some hope, things can change. And I think that's really something that people forget, that we're not just a local radio station.
Yeah, we really can't underestimate the power of Joy and the reach that this station has to community, as you've said, not just in this country, but beyond. It's a beacon of hope in what can feel like pretty dark times.
And I can imagine there'll be people in the US sort of listening going, hopefully, you know, if Canada could reject this, if Australia could reject this, maybe there's some hope for us. You know, they've got midterms coming up. We did lose some good people from Parliament, didn't we? Not just some of your Greens members. I mean, I followed Stephen Bates. I was really gutted.
Same.
You know, Brisbane fell.
Stephen's an amazing person, and I think there'll be many people, not just in Brisbane, but right around this country, who are sad to not see him return to federal parliament. But I'm sure we'll see more things from Stephen in future. I think, you know, that particularly out of Queensland colleagues, some of the sort of grassroots community aid work and representation locally that those officers represented, like these were amazing people who did their absolute best to serve their community. Yeah. And, you know, there are no safe seats. We can't take any seat or any vote for granted. I think, you know, myself, my Greens colleagues, all we can do is seek to represent our community in the best way possible.
Yeah.
And ultimately, the rest of it is democracy.
And I think you're right. There are no safe seats in this country at the moment. We saw massive swings. We almost saw Bean go in the ACT.
I think they're still counting, potentially. Yeah.
Bradfield's back in play as well.
Like Menzies, for example, where I was, you know, out for a lot of the early voting period. It's a seat that's been considered Liberal forever, super, super safe, you know, former Kevin Andrews seat. Yep. And then I look at the results now, and it's gone to the government, I think, for the first time in its history.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a seat called Menzies.
Yes.
Like, it's, you know, we're looking at a really, really changing political climate. And, you know, I think as long as we're moving on this pathway towards progressive politics, you know, putting the politics of people like Trump aside, not taking that path that sows hate and fear, particularly for members of the LGBTQI+ community, like, we have to maintain that path, and, you know, the Greens are seeking to play that role in advocating for progressive policies that make our community a better place.
Yeah. And we're almost done here on the Open Table on Joy 94.9. Of course, it's Radiothon. Hey, we've had a membership come in. So that's great. That's from Ethan. Can you read that for me? I haven't got my glasses on.
Isn't it, Mick? Celebrating bisexuality. Thank you so much for your
donation. Yes, from Victoria. And they've had a membership with plus a $50 donation.
Wonderful. Wow. Thank you.
So that's fantastic. So you're in the draw now. That's great.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the benefit of that is, you know.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck. If you don't want those silver passes, just let me know.
We
have had a great time tonight. Ave, thank you for coming on.
And my pleasure. Thank you so much.
During a sitting week and reflecting on the importance of Joy and, you know, giving us your insight into this extraordinary election that just happened. Dimitra, thank you for sharing with us your experience of joy and for coming back. Ethan, thank you for sticking with me, even though I cheated on you with Game On for a good hour. And it was hot. I really enjoyed it. They gave me something that you never do. Anyway, adulation. Anyway, so we're going to go out. But one of the things Joy does is it promotes young, emerging artists. Nick Ward, Shooting Star, he played at the Troye Sivan concert and he was almost the best thing about it. So we're going to say goodbye and we'll be back next week with a leather special. So we'll talk to you then.
Thank you for listening to The Open Table here on Joy. If you missed part of the conversation or want to catch more, find the podcast at joy.org.au/theopentable.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.